Join us. He's coming on. As far as I know, he is joining us. Okay, I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting? Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are switched off, are switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before each item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any extent matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at this meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. So thanks everyone for coming. Apologies. I have an apology from Councillor Stoke. Was there any other apologies? No.
No, that's good.
So we move on to item two, which is declarations of conflicts of interest. Have we any declarations?
None, Chair.
None? Okay. Item three is the action sheet. We'll just take it page by page for accuracy. So page one, page two, page three, page four, page 5, page 6, page 7, and page 8. Are there any issues arising from the action sheet?
Yes, Chair. Question, please.
Councillor Casey was in first there for a question on the action sheet.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, Charlie. I'll take you first there, please.
No, thanks a lot. It's to do with the Christmas illuminations. 12-foot artificial Christmas tree. Can you hear me okay?
Yep. Hear you
artificial Christmas tree. I think it's destined for Newry. Does that mean the one that's normally in situ at the town hall, is it of a mind to be exit stage left? Is it for moving, for going away? And the new Christmas illuminations, are we buying more illuminations for all the towns and villages, as well as major populations like Newry and Warren Point and Downpatrick and Newcastle?
Chair, it's Kevin Scudion here. The tree actually is for Kilkeel. It's a 12-metre tree. We've gone out to tender and we've looked for two options, a 10-metre and a 12-metre tree. It's to be located in the event space in Kilkeel. And we'll make a final determination whether to go for the 10 or the 12 once we know the supplier and what best fits within the event space itself. In addition to that, we've gone out to tender for the replacement of 145 pole-mounted Christmas illuminations. In our total stock, we would have about 700-odd pole-mounted illuminations, so it's a significant percentage of a replacement. and they are going to replace ones which are used in various towns. So, for instance, some are for along John Mitchell Place. Some are for Killyleagh. All of Kilkeel's are being replaced. And some other towns which I just can't remember just at this moment. Castle Wellen is also receiving new illuminations as well. Last year was the first year we had illuminations up in Castle Wellen for a while, and we were using older illuminations, so we're replacing those with much fresher ones.
Nice for your report, Jim, but did I not read somewhere out to all of these minutes today earlier on when I had nothing better to do? There's a illuminations working group, which I'm not a member of, but I thought I read in amongst it, amongst all the new illuminations that are being purchased, that there was a plan for an artificial tree in the centre of Newry.
No, sure, there's no plans for that. There is a report later on in the committee talking about the illuminations groups meeting, and I suppose it focuses on a number of things, replacing some of the smaller cut Christmas trees. So there's 9 towns and villages around the area we give a cut Christmas tree to, and we're trying to replace those for a sustainable tree. In terms of Newry, the bigger trees, like we provide a 12-metre tree for Newry, for Warren Point, for Ballinahinch. So for this year, there's no plans to replace that. The plan is that we would go for service and get a real Christmas tree for Newry, as we've done in previous years. At some stage in the future, the group may indeed look at that, or the committee itself may direct us to look at that. We do have 2 other towns where we have the larger artificial Christmas tree. That's in one in Downpatrick and one also in Newcastle. So provided the tender goes through this year, we will then move to a position where we have 3 artificial Christmas trees in those 3 towns. I suppose it's trying to change the balance, Chair, to move away from the cut Christmas trees to more sustainable trees, and then perhaps if artificial trees are considered more sustainable, perhaps that's the route to go instead of cutting down trees from the forest every year.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. We'll maybe pick that up in a later item on the Christmas illuminations and trees, if that's okay. Councillor Andrews, do you have a question there?
I do, Chairperson. Thank you very much. It's in relation to page 5 of the action sheet. Any update on PPE and staff uniform upgrades? I'd be grateful for an update. Thanks.
Sure, I suppose this is me again, Kevin Scullion. This is tied in with the report that's on later on in terms of procurement. And it's one of many of the different types of procurements that we're trying to move forward with. So it was good to get the approval through the business case from this committee in June. And it's a matter of working through that. It does take time. It can take a number of months before we get to the end of the process. I would be hopeful that we will have it finished before the end of this year and would have a new contractor in place for the start of next year. But that's very much dependent on how much time each officer can put to these different projects.
Thanks very much, Kevin. Appreciate the update. Thank you. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Kevin. Can I get a proposer and a seconder there for the action sheet, please? Thank you, Catherine. Councillor Owen has proposed and Councillor Murphy has seconded that. Thank you. We'll move on to item 4. And item 4 is the notice of motion received from Councillor Owen. Councillor Owen, would you like to read out your motion, and possibly Roland and Joe will come in and answer that one?
Perfect, yeah, thanks very much. So, as the Council is promoting recycling as a key strategic objective, we need to commit to how this is delivered operationally. Distribution of small brown bins for food waste throughout Council areas is an important part of achieving our objective by helping residents separate their waste. Under COVID-19 restrictions, normal practice of residents collecting these bins in person from green banks cannot occur at the moment or in the near future. To ensure effective delivery of this service, Council staff should commit to the delivery of these bins to local areas and work with local councillors to support delivery of the service where practical. All bins distributed should be to a recorded address. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Roland, would you like to come in on that, or is there any other questions?
Chair, I was going to second it, so if that was possible, and maybe comment on this.
Yes, go on ahead, Glenn.
All right. Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Catherine, there, for bringing this forward. I would sort of have a little bit of a bee in my bonnet about this whole thing. I know the Council, one of their key strategic objectives is recycling. And we do need to make it as easy to deliver this operationally as possible and make it easy for the public to help us sort the different types of refuse and sort of food waste, paper, just the black bin waste and one hand or the small bins, small brown bins are a major help to sorting, so they are, to be quite honest with you. Anybody that wants would put food waste somewhere in their kitchen, they need a brown bin, a small brown bin with the liners that the council supplies, so which are very effective, so they are. And they do need a lid on it, so they do. So the small brown bins that the council do have in their control at the moment, I believe they do need to be let out to people. A lot of people never receive one of these small brown bins because the small brown bins only come out with the second wave or second tranche of the smaller big brown bins. So there's a huge amount of people in our council area that do not have them, and that is just a simple fact. And I know whenever I was speaking to some of the council officers, I was sort of disappointed in one comment one of them made to me, that you use an old bucket or an old bowl there to put their food waste in. I don't think that's acceptable at all, sir, I don't, to be quite honest with you. I want to see these brown bins, everybody in the community that has a household be given the opportunity to have one. So my thoughts on this are that council need to get them out to the people. So what I'm suggesting is that councillors can assist quite considerably in this whole distribution purpose. Now, some councillors are not in a position to distribute there. I just happen to be in one because my own business here, anybody could have called in and got one if I had them in my control, so I could. And it's just to make sure everybody has one. Now, I don't know what the cost it is for the council or anything like that there, so I don't. They're not large. Possibly, I don't know, a few pounds would maybe buy one. I don't know. Maybe Roland or whoever can maybe give us an idea on that. Just on the whole thing, I think it's disappointing that the council's not pushing this a bit harder, so I do. It helps. I know I was up in Yuri on a few occasions collecting a few things in about the Green Bank, and I've seen them sitting there. There is a number of pallets of them sitting there with a large number of them. Is council just keeping them for the sake of keeping them, or are they keen to get them out among the community? I think they should get them out. I want to see them out there, so I do. And on the end of the notice of motion, all a councillor has to do if the council vans are passing by their property, drop a few off, as long as the councillor gives an address for any small brown bin that's going to. I think that's only reasonable, so it is. So I am happy to second Catherine's motion here, and the council should be more proactive in dealing with this whole issue, so I do. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Roland, would you like to take a couple of questions before you come in, or do you want to come back there on the motion itself?
No, I'm happy to take the questions, Chair.
Okay, first in there was Councillor Casey.
Thanks, Chair. Mine's to do with those who have the brown chatty bins at the moment. The availability for those people to get bin liners. It used to be pre-COVID when council was up and running and there were lots of our council buildings were open and the bags were made available to our citizens, but now they're not. How can those people who do use them and are very diligent in their use of them get the little bin liners, the caddy bin liners? Thank you.
Yeah. Councillor Taylor, do you have a question there, please?
Yeah, Chair, it's really a comment more so than a question. Certainly, you know, I think we should look towards, you know, supporting this motion. I know myself on, you know, frequent occasions I've called in to Green Bank to get these brown, you know, provisions to try and drop them off with people, but as I've requested them, obviously not been able to get access to them. So there may be some practical, you know, arrangements have to be sorted by the council and resources obviously to try and meet the new request that's in the motion, but certainly I think we should as a council try and facilitate it as much as we can. And councillors can obviously play a role in that too, in terms of if they can take, you know, supplies to provide the people and provide, you know, information in terms of who's getting them, I think that would be helpful too.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Clark, do you have a question there on this motion?
Okay, thanks very much, Chair. No, I agree with what people are saying. There has been a great uptake in regards to the brown bin waste recycling. I think the public have embraced it. In my time in council, I think it's the most successful recycling campaign that we have launched. And so anything we can do, you know, to encourage people to recycle more, then we should be doing it, because there's obviously a tax, landfill tax saving in regards to that. We want people to take the food waste out of the residual, black residual waste stream. So as I say, the motion is good, and it's worthwhile of supporting. I suppose moving forward, how we distribute the brown caddies is what we have to discuss, and I suppose we obviously, in regards to accountability, where the brown bin caddies are going to, there has to be that accountability. So it's about signposting residents till, you know, the relevant department or the officer, with an address and with a telephone number and a name, and then the caddy can be either picked up or delivered. So it's a bit like the larger brown bins, when we give them free for a period of time to get people involved. I think the same thing has to happen in regards to this. There's a cost to caddies, but the savings outweighs the cost. You know, small price to pay for the caddies. In regards to, you know, during COVID-19, I think it's very successful. The council's getting the recyclable bags out into the community. I think I must have delivered close to 1,000 of the bags, and people are still texting me now. Are you still delivering these bags? And I said, no, I can get them from the recycling centres. But I think, I think there's a real appetite when people are really, you know, bought into it, that they want them, then we have to make it as easy as possible for them to get it. Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Councillor Clark. Councillor McKee, do you have a question there?
Yeah, maybe more observation. Just certainly very, very useful. Useful tool, certainly a massive help to the recycling. If you compare what was happening before, and maybe it's still happening because people don't have a small brown bin, that probably brown bin waste is going into a black bin, and you can imagine that, what sort of mess that would be, and the smells and what goes with it. But just in relation to Councillor Owen's notice of motion, she did state that it would have to go to an address, but Councillor Hannah said it could be delivered in bulk and then distributed. So it'd be working out what's best, you know, and making sure that they do go. For I know certainly, if regards, as Charlie said, the bags are certainly, the bags was a big go, and I actually left them 3 or 4 times at the various shops, and within the next day they were on the phone, can we have any more? And they were doing it very responsibly, because they were only given one, and I wrote it on the belt, they only give one to one customer, and they appreciated that, and obviously it was good for it, would have been accustomed to, people were going to the shop looking for it and what have you. But certainly if you're going to have the liners, you're going to need the box, and you're going to need both. So I'm not sure how that's going to work out, how you distribute them. How did you distribute the large bins? The smaller ones should be easier, because if it's stacked, it wouldn't take up as much room. So just an observation, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McKee. Roland, do you want to come in on any of them questions, or are you happy to carry on?
Well, yeah, no, happy to come in. I mean, I think a lot of the sentiments I from the councillors in the comments, hopefully will pick up as part of the paper that we've put to this report, which is saying
let officers go and work something up and come back and tell you how we can do it. But just to answer Councillor Casey's question in relation to the bin liners, certainly in the COVID times it has been difficult, but we do have them stocked at the HRCs where they can be collected from there, but we are looking at methods to get them further out as well.
Thank you. Catherine, Councillor Owen, had you a comment there to make?
If that's okay, Chair, thanks very much. It was just really, I know Roland's come in there before me, but it was just more just to touch on something that Charlie had said as far as about getting, you know, the problems with the bags. This is something that I had raised a motion some time ago to do with, you know, the distribution of the bags. This was all pre-COVID, and then of course there is, you know, the issue with the staff and recontracts and things. So we sort of kicked the can down the road a wee bit, but it was something, you know, as far as, and again, sort of bringing Willie in as well, as far as, you know, trying to encourage recycling and food waste. One of the things that I had seen living in England and living over here, where you can see over in England what they do is they just tie an empty bag onto the bin and then the guys jump off the lorries and leave a roll with them. And then they know then that that household needs another roll. So that was, but it's been, you know, doubled up and brought, sort of put together in this one motion to be looking at the two things together. It would be really interesting, I don't know what others think, but it would be really interesting to see now that as councillors we've had the bags versus, you know, having them in HRCs, what kind of, has there been an increased uptake? Because we are obviously in our community and it's much more accessible. You know, I know I was always leaving a bag, you know, with something in Sainfield. For us, for our residents here in Sainfield, they either have to travel to Downpatrick or travel over to Ballinhinch. I know the second I was putting two boxes in down in Sainfield, they were literally gone within 24 hours. You know, so is that an improvement, you know, compared to what normally comes out, and therefore then having it sort of left people's doors, will that improve our recycling and food waste uptake? But not necessarily really a question, more just a comment to kind of say that the two things are kind of in there together, brown caddy bins, the wee bins and the brown caddy bags. It's kind of mashed into one motion there that Roland had said to me that he was going to take a wee look at. So thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Owen. A couple more questions there. Councillor Andrews, you're in there next.
Thanks very much, Chair. It's just more or less a comment. And I know over the COVID period, I had bags at home. I had caddies, and I had people calling to the house, and even had people today calling. And you know, that's my part as a councillor was, you know, provide the local service with the emergency. But I do support the motion. I think it's a good one. And as I said, we look forward to the officers coming back at a future date with a report. And I want to suggest a course of action that's going to be taken. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. We're getting a lot of the same comments on this motion, so hopefully we can wrap it up soon. Councillor Mason, have you a question there, please?
Yes, thanks, Chair. Look, just really, really briefly, I want to just get it from the point of view of my own DEA here in Slieve Croob. I fully support this motion because, as Councillor Owens has said in the motion, during the COVID-19 restrictions, I know that I had a lot of people contacting me that didn't even know that you could get the caddy bin liners or the caddy bins for your own kitchens. So, look, if this is what our aim is, to reduce this to reduce the waste, I think it's only right that we are advertising this and getting it out there as much as we possibly can. I know the five councillors in the DEA here at times came together to try and get to push this forward and push this out. So, look, anything that is going to move forward, this is our objective. I definitely welcome. And again, Councillor Owens has mentioned it about the caddy bin liners and, you know, where we are on that motion of how do we get those out to people going forward. So it's just a great question, really. At the minute and at this present time, are we going to continue to get the caddy bin liners? Because I know, like as Councillor Clark said, I'm still getting messages and requests for them.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. And finally, just another comment from Councillor Hannah. Is it something new, Councillor Hannah?
No, just to clear up what Councillor McKee said there, I didn't ask for anything about that. All I have been suggesting is that I'm happy there if the council wanted to drop off the bins here instead of running around and giving the council staff a run around in the sense of running to addresses to deliver, because it's not going to be a bulk delivery, I assume Roland would be wanting to do. It's just targeted at those who need them. So that's all I'm saying. So Councillor McKee, I didn't understand his comments, Ed, and just that's all it was, Roland, to clear up. I offered to do it. I did it before, so I help. I still give out the bin liners I do here at my workshop, and I tell you, everybody knows where I'm at there, and I get a lot, so I do. And I know Councillor O'Reilly was the same. He did exactly the same as myself, stated. So put it this way, it's just to clear up. I'm happy if they were left off here, the people can pick them up here instead of the council running about round all the houses, because it would be an operational headache with staff for Roland and the staff. So that's what I'm just saying. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Roland, do you want to come back in there in a minute, though, sir?
Well, just to say to Councillor Mason, we do have them at the HRCs at the moment. That's their distribution path until we get through the COVID restrictions that we're in. Chair, with your indulgence, if it's okay, could I refer to the report that I put to the notice of motion?
Mm-hmm.
And just to highlight, I suppose, the key recommendation from that report, which we'd be looking for a proposal and a seconder. What I'm saying is, in relation to the motion, that if it is adopted, which it appears councillors are behind it, it will require officers to go away and do a bit of work on it, to look at what the options are for the distribution for the small carries, what resources it needs, what the costs are, what the process is, what the governance is around it. And then, in addition, that we would look at the previous notice of motion that Councillor Owen had brought and referred to earlier, and bring that back as a kind of joint package. So this is what we do with the bins, and this is what we do with the liners, if members are happy enough with that recommendation.
Yeah, thank you, Roland. Just to clarify, sir, do I need a proposer and a seconder for the motion, and then another proposer and seconder then for the recommendation?
No, the motion has come in the name of Councillors Owen and Hannah. So
okay.
It's the recommendation then would need a proposer and seconder who would need to be on the committee.
Okay.
Chair.
A proposal there from Councillor Andrews, and it's seconded there by Councillor Clark. So thank you very much. We'll move on to item 5, which is the rewilding and wildflower areas across Newry, Mourne and down just to Council Estate. Kevin, are you coming in on this? This is for noting only.
That's right, Chair. It's just for noting. It's an update on various work being carried out by the Council's ground maintenance section. And the work itself is described within the report, and all of that work ties into a number of things. It ties into the Council's Local Biodiversity Action Plan and the actions that the Council has committed to within that. The committee will be aware of the discussions we have had here in terms of a tree strategy for the Council, and we're hoping to bring that back to you for approval towards the end of this year. The work that's described within the report fits into that. The committee is also aware that we have already, through this committee and through the full council, approved the rollout of a roundabout sponsorship scheme. Now, the roundabout sponsorship scheme has been delayed during this pandemic period, but the work that's described within the report has focused a lot in those areas which we are likely to try and sponsor or get sponsors for. So I think that's the positive of that, and it'll attract more sponsorship, hopefully, for those areas or interest in those areas. So it does address a number of those different issues, the Local Biodiversity Action Plan, the Future Tree Strategy. The report itself gives some photographs of the different work being carried out by the squads right across the district, tree planting, rewilding, wildflowers. It's not just ourselves involved in this. We're working closely with Road Service, because most of the land that we're doing this on is actually owned by Road Service, but we maintain it on their behalf. We've also worked with local groups. There was a significant amount of work done with local groups in Kilkeel, and they assisted in the planting that took place there. And we've got grant aid from the Department of Communities. We've got £29,500, which paid for the materials that was used within the work that you're looking at here tonight. Most of the work was done in-house. A little bit of work had to be carried out by contractor. We won't be able to do that, but the by and large the work has been carried out in-house, and that continues within the report. It says what we've done. It also lists the areas that we'll be moving forward into. So that's a summary of the report, and it is just for noting.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. I see we have a few questions in there. Councillor Hanna, would you mind holding off to the end and we'll let in the committee members first, if that's okay? Councillor Mason, you were first on the list there with a question.
Thanks, Chair. Look, first of all, I just want to say I think this is absolutely brilliant. I really commend the Council for it. I just wanted to check something, Kevin, in the report. It says about a specific area in Drummond-Esk. There was an area that I had suggested. Is this the same scheme that was that came to the DEA meetings and we were asked for suggestions of different areas of where we thought the rewilding could happen? Is this the same paper coming back? And I think it was actually Councillor Kimmins at the time that put a motion forward about the rewilding. And just, you know, where is there a timeline of when that might happen in Drummond-Esk, and is there any plans drawn up for it yet?
Sure, I'm not familiar whether it was through that meeting or not, but I'll commit to come back to the councillor with details in terms of Drummond-Esk over the next couple of days.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Councillor Clark.
Thanks very much, Chair. First of all, I'd like to thank the council officers for implementing the outworkings of the rewilding and I suppose the planting more trees through the tree strategy, even though it's still a draft form, but it shows you the commitment of improving the biodiversity and the habitats for pollinators. And I think that's what I know our climate change forum, that's what we're keen to see. We're keen to see action on the ground moving forward, mitigating the impacts of climate change. Just as Kevin, I wasn't, if this came through the DEA, I missed it, but there's an opportunity. I brought a motion, another motion in regards to managing the Islands Park in Newcastle as a climate change mitigation park. And I would see the need for wildflowers to be planted in Islands Park moving forward. And I think there might be others coming in about in regards to areas where they don't think it's suitable. So if there is a scheme that councillors believe isn't suitable, then I would like to see the Islands Park considered in that proposal moving forward. But it is really a good positive news story moving forward, and I'd like to thank the officers for it.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Clark. Kevin, do you want to come in on that, or do you want a couple more questions?
Chair, I'll just commit to come back to the councillor in terms of Island Park. I know that in years gone by, there was an attempt to have an area set aside within Island Park for wildflower, and it wasn't that successful because it's just not the planting of wildflowers is not just an easy process. There's a lot of hit and miss with it, but I'll commit to come back to the councillor in terms of Island Park and whether it's part of the plans that our grounds maintenance manager is working through with.
Thank you, Kevin.
Fair enough, thank you.
Councillor Murphy.
Thanks, Chair. And again, likewise, as Willie has said, this is an excellent report. Just before our pre-COVID, we had a DEA meeting in Steve Cullion. And obviously we discussed this particular issue of rewilding. Now I did give an expression of an interest, for some areas around the Kelmacnesbrook area. But unfortunately with COVID, we never got back to the DEA meetings and I just haven't had an opportunity to further discuss this. So will there be further opportunities, maybe for those who are directly responsible for that, for this particular project, to sit down and discuss with them? That's the first. And then the second question is in relation to the roundabouts. I just noted from the reports that all the roundabouts, all the roads leading into Newry that have roundabouts, all of the roundabouts are fairly well looked after, bar one, and that's the one on the Hamlet Road. And I was just wondering, is there any briefing or updates on that particular roundabout? Thanks.
Sure. Suppose we're at the start of this process, so if a site's not in at the moment, it doesn't mean that it won't be in the future. So we are open to other areas, and if there is ongoing discussions with the DES, we'll obviously take that on board when we're planning out future sites. In relation to the roundabout at Camla, it's not one of the roundabouts that we actually maintain. It's one that is under the sole responsibility of DFI. Just as the roundabout at the top of the Dublin Road is another one that we don't maintain. I suppose there's limited resources to do this. We're not getting any income from road service to do it either. And therefore, we just can't stretch ourselves to include further roundabouts at the moment that are not currently within the existing schedule of roundabouts that we're doing.
Thanks, Kevin.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Councillor Casey, you're next there.
Thanks, Chair. I fully support the concept of that initiative going forward as well, the rewilding and tree planting. Just on the tree planting, there was some, I think, planted on the roadside of Grossbridge at, I think it's Abbey Way or Castle Street, going past Lytle and the Newrymore Museum. Seems to have been some sort of damage. I don't know if it's weather damage or whatever, but some of them seem to be bit skewed. Maybe somebody could take a look at that. And talking about roundabouts and roundabouts that we maintain, there's another roundabout as well as the one Declan has concerns over. We may well have done some work on this. The one at the other side of Caribbean Gardens is it merges with the Tandagee Road. It's a fairly big roundabout as well, which sees a lot of traffic. Maybe some work could be done there. One other thing just before I finish, and if you bear with me, Chair. The trees that were planted, the cherry trees were planted on the at the canal walkway. Some have been badly damaged. Some were damaged that badly that they were actually removed. Are we going to replace them? Because it is very picturesque when they are fully in bloom, but when there are massive gaps in between it, it just takes a bad look off the whole lot. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Charlie. Kevin, do you want to come in on that? Or?
Sure. If Charlie's referring maybe to what I would call the Five Ways roundabout, is that the one you're referring to, Charlie?
No, it's not. It's on further out past Caribbean Gardens as you head to the Tandagee Road, out beside the Resource Centre.
It's not a roundabout that's on our schedule either. It's still within road service to maintain. In terms of the trees along Abbey Way, it's a sad story there. There were a number of those trees were stolen, is the only way I suppose I can say it. They were removed overnight, so we lost maybe the value of about £300 worth of young trees. So that's just unfortunate. And
scandalous is the word you're looking for.
Yeah. And in terms of the cherry trees along the canal, it's something we'll come back to you on, Charlie. There may be some issues with that as to why they cannot be put back in. I've heard something, but I just would like to check facts on that before I would state affirmatively what I believe the situation is there.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Andrews, have you a question? Councillor Andrews, are you on mute? It's actually, believe it or not, somebody called the door. I gave them a caddy and a caddy bag. Sorry, but that was just a community service. I've lost in relation to the parts. I was actually chair of the APSI Parks and Horticultural Working Group, and a lot of the local authorities have been engaged in that over the past lot of years. I think it'll be a good program when it's rolled out, so I'm fully supportive of it. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Riley.
Thanks, Madam Chair. On the issue of wildflowering in an urban area, I think it's very important that we liaise with the local communities that would host any planting, rather than just a environmental group, you know, that could the council could work with. And also in the choice of trees, you know, some of the trees that I've seen being planted in coastal areas would not be suitable, and they'll not thrive as they should do. And the other issue is pairing trees. You know, are we getting really good horticultural advice in this? Because again, some of the, you know, you'll get an oak beside pseudoplatanus or something like that, and obviously one's going to grow very fast and the other's going to grow very, very slow over hundreds of years. So we need to be careful about how we manage this and make sure that we're getting good advice. But the consultation on the populations that live contiguous to where wildflowers will be planted, it's very, very important that we consult fully with them. Like in, for example, Nutcree Avenue, I'm sure people are aware of the uproar that has been generated by rumours of wildflower planting there. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Kevin, do you want to come in on that?
I'll just note Councillor's comments, and it's something that we'll take on board.
Okay, thank you. Final question there is from Councillor McKee before we take Councillor Hannah. So, Councillor McKee.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just generally, well, maybe Henry touched the Nutcree Avenue, and I have seen on Facebook that a lot of people, there's probably more against than there is in favour of wildflowers. Wildflowers themselves are nice. I'm just wondering about the process. If you're planting wildflowers, do you have to cultivate the grass, or is it a case of wildflowers can grow? Always looks well down that particular centre reservation. And for I know with the tree planting, I don't know who was consulted or who wouldn't consult it, but I know there's people were against those trees actually planted there. They say they weren't consulted, so it's hard to please everyone on that. But I'm only saying it would be important in a neighbourhood like that, that are looking out on that particular area all the time. It's so important if we could just get a grasp of their thinking of it before we do anything. But I think, Kevin, the point is, what do you do? Do you have to cultivate the grass, or can you somehow have it growing up through the grass, and then when it dies off, you still have grass cover? Thank you.
I'm afraid, Chair, I wouldn't have the technical knowledge to be able to answer that question, but I'll undertake to have our grounds maintenance manager come back to the councillor with a response on that one.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally, we'll go back to Councillor Hannah. He has a comment to make.
Thanks, Chair. I don't think Councillor Riley was on the committee either, so I don't know, but you let him in anyway, see you there.
I think he is on the committee.
Just Chair, on it there, and especially Nutcree Avenue, I have spoken to Kevin on this here, and whenever I seen on the agenda that Nutcree Avenue was highlighted, so it was as a potential location there for wildflowers. And I don't know where Harry's got the information from there. The trees in Nutcree Avenue have been nearly unanimously welcomed on Nutcree Avenue, and they're looking forward to the rest of Nutcree Avenue right to the top, having more trees planted. But just on the wildflower in the Nutcree Avenue, I did put a post up on Facebook there. It wasn't a leading post asking would the people be in favour of wildflowers in Nutcree Avenue, and 99.9% of Nutcree Avenue are delighted with Kevin Scullion and his team cutting the grass and looking after Nutcree Avenue and leaving it looking extremely well, and wildflowers are not wanted in Nutcree Avenue. So I would suggest, Kevin, before, if you do take a notion of including wildflowers in Nutcree Avenue, you do consult with the people because they don't want it. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. That's us concluded in item 5. We had a proposal there from Councillor Mason, and it was seconded by Councillor Clark. So if everybody's happy, we'll move on to item 6. This item is up for decision. It's the report of Christmas Illuminations and Celebrations Group meeting of the 28th of July 2020. And Kevin, you're going to discuss this one.
Thanks, Chair. Just as a background, the group was set up to agree how the Council would help local communities across the district celebrate Christmas. It's not a decision-making body, and all recommendations have to come through this committee for approval and then up to the full Council for final approval. So the report presented in front of you is a copy of the action sheet that we had from our last meeting, which was held in July. I suppose as well as background, there's been the product coming out of the group and through this committee has been a number of different things. One of the main things I think the councillors have been very happy with and want to see progress further is the planting of sustainable Christmas trees, so that we can move away from this previous arrangement whereby each year we were cutting down 28 trees in a forest, cut them up for a short period of time within towns and villages, and then disposing of them. So by planting real Christmas trees, they become part of a community, they grow with the community, and hopefully people become fond of them, and they're part of the central part of the community celebrations at Christmas. So in 2018, we planted 6 Christmas trees around the district in partnership with local groups. It was deemed to be successful. Last year, you gave us authority to go out further and to plant a further 14 sustainable Christmas trees, and we achieved that. And previously now, at the last meeting we had, I think it was in June, this committee agreed that we would, this year, we would focus on trying to replace some of these cut Christmas trees in the smaller towns and villages, and we identified 9 of them. The report sort of talks about our progress in relation to that. As it turns out, there's about 2 or 3 of those villages that we're not able to do that with, but all of the others are very keen to work with us, and we'll work with them between now and Christmas to see what can be achieved. There was a delay in putting out the expression of interest. It was hoped to go out in April, but with the pandemic, that was delayed. And that is now going out this month. And what we're hoping to get from that is a further 7 local groups who can work with us over an 18-month program. We can't guarantee we'll have them in for this Christmas, but we'll work with them on that. So the report as well gives you the action sheet, and there are a number of recommendations coming from the action sheet that this committee would need to consider and approve or reject. So, for instance, one of the things we discussed at the meeting was a request to extend some lighting pole-mounted illuminations at Ross's Monument just as before you're coming into Rostrever. There was also a request to look at Newcastle Harbour, extending the lighting in that area, and also to light up an oak tree close to that location. And we also had contact from Newton Hamilton Community Association. There's an EI scheme taking place in Newton Hamilton along Dundalk Street and Armagh Street. It's likely to be on ground before Christmas time, not finished this Christmas. So what that committee is asking the council to do is, well, listen, you only give us a Christmas tree each year, so what we'd like you to consider doing is with the new EI scheme that's going in to put pole-mounted illuminations along both those streets. And that would be about 15 or 16 new pole illuminations that would be banned for that town if the council decides to do that. Second thing, we unfortunately have lost 3 of the trees that we have planted, and we're looking for your approval to go ahead and replace those. That's in Bestwick, Dundrum and Cross Park. And the last thing then is we're asking you to endorse just the other actions that are within the report itself, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Councillor Casey, could I just ask you to mute your screen there? It's clicking on and off there in the meeting, please. Thank you. We have a couple of questions there. Councillor Andrews is going to propose, and he has a question as well. So, Councillor Andrews.
More or less, Kevin, I welcome the report. I'm happy to propose from what we've seen as an action-packed report that seems to be something there for everybody, and I welcome the tree replacement. And also, in particular, I welcome the new Christmas tree for Kilkeel, because I know I got first-hand comments last year in Kilkeel about the tree, and I welcome the replacement there. But as I say, just more or less, I welcome the replacement for Crossgar. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor McKevitt, you're in there 2 seconds. Have you a question along with that? Or?
No, just to welcome the report as well. I think as somebody who lives in the community of Ballyhoon, who got a Christmas tree last year, and to see the benefits of it, as Kevin described, growing with the community, I think it's a brilliant idea, and long may it last. So happy to propose. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McKevitt. Councillor McKee, you have a question?
Yes, Chair, probably for Kevin. In relation to Analong EI scheme, as part of that scheme, there was a new sustainable tree to go in there, and the contractor was going to put in his own. This is from the last meeting, and I was wondering, was our own in-house horticulturalist, was he going to try and speak to the contractor to put his tree on hold, or at least to make sure that the quality of his tree was of the quality we expect from the council trees, which are pretty good? So I'm just wondering, was that carried out? At the minute, I don't believe the tree's in. Up to a couple of days ago, the tree was not in place, so maybe that's the reason why it's not. Thank you.
Chair, yes, our grounds maintenance manager has been in contact with the contractor on site in terms of the tree for that location, and I think it would be our intention that we would put our own tree in that location rather than use the contractor's key, but that's something we'll be working through with the contractor.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin. Pastor Clark, your question?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just to say, maybe at the outset, the sustainable Christmas trees has been a massive success for the council. It's been a real good news story, and the community have really bought into the concept. And there is, the outgoings or the amount of money that we'll have to put out in the beginning. I think it's an invest to save, because long term we are going to make savings. But just in my own area, and I've raised it at the Illuminations Committee as well, about the Newcastle Harbour area, it does seem to be excluded from the process, and I've talked to Kevin about this, and we've looked to maybe look at the oak tree or the anchor, or get some sort of illumination in that area alongside the lighting that goes down the pier, the north pier. So I think it would really lift the area, lift the whole of Newcastle. There's a cluster of businesses in that area as well, and pole mounted lighting I don't think it would be suitable in that area. It's more of a historic area. So perhaps maybe a sustainable Christmas tree might be a solution, and that takes me to my question, Kevin. The Cross Gar one was damaged by vandalism, I understand. The other trees, Dundrum in particular, what caused the demise of the entries?
The Dundrum one, it was a difficult area we were placed it in. And it's our grounds maintenance manager's view that the issue was that there was a lot of rock breaking to be done to get the area, and perhaps the space that we eventually end up with wasn't large enough, and it probably would have survived except for that long period of prolonged dry weather that we had. And that coinciding with a time that we were in lockdown meant that we didn't have the resources to go out and attend to that one. Same for the one in Bestbrook, for the same sort of reasons. They were in difficult locations, and if we had had time to water them more frequently during that lockdown period, they probably would have survived. I think going forward, particularly in terms of the one in Dundrum, our manager is considering sort of when we do plant something within that area, is that we have some sort of irrigation system along with it, so that it'll try and counteract against that. And the one in Bestbrook, I suppose we didn't actually get it out of the pot, because there was some discussion in terms of its actual location. Where it was placed at Christmas time last year was within what we would call the fountain area in Bestbrook, in behind the railings, but we appreciate now that that's not the place for it. It's too small an area, and we're actually going to place it in the green area across the road from that. It's just with everything going on, it wasn't taken out of the pot and planted in time, and therefore didn't survive, unfortunately, so it's one that we would have to replace. But if we get a new one, get your permission for a new one for that, it'll be placed across the way from the fountain area.
Okay, thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin. Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I suppose Willie's probably got the question answered for me in terms of Bestbrook tree. It obviously was in a very poor state. It's a stable tree that was planted. The last time I'd seen it before it was taken away, it was very unhealthy looking, so I'm glad to see that there is a proposal to replace that. I was going to ask about the site, and was there an issue? Was that part of the reason for the fact that the tree ended up in the state it was? I'm glad also that we're keeping it in Charlemont Square, because I know last year before the tree was, placed where it was in the fountain area, there was maybe a suggestion at one stage to bring it down to College Square, but really there's no businesses down there, it's more residential than beside the town hall, but I think people were keen for it to be up around where more of the shops and the business part of the village was, so we welcome the fact that you have found a location for that, and that you're welcome to continue to work with the likes of the Bestbrook Institute and the development company, who would be, obviously a key involvement in terms of arranging events around Christmas. The other thing is, in terms of Newton Hamilton Community Association obviously is requesting there. I've encouraged the council obviously to work with them as well, because they do play a key role in really launching the Christmas celebrations in Newton Hamilton, and you know, anything that we can do obviously to work with them on that, I would encourage the council to do so. But say, my question's really been answered to what Willie there and his questions about the sustainable trees.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Kevin, do you want to answer that, or are you happy enough?
That's fine, Chair. I would add that the Newcastle extension, the Ross Driver extension, is ones that we'll bring back to you in September with costings for it, because it costs so much this year, but it'll cost that the same. Well, it'll be an annual spend from then. So once we start to extend, it's difficult to retract and stop it. So it'll be something for the committee. If you give approval today, what we do is we go away, we work out what we can do, we do the costings for it and bring it back to you in September for your approval or not.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Councillor Owen has withdrawn her question. It's already been answered. So we have a final question there from Councillor Finnegan.
Thanks, Chair. Kevin, I know we've had discussions on the Christmas tree for Cross the Glen, and just to get clarity on it, at the minute, I know we're down for the sustainable Christmas tree in the hope that that will be put in on time. Given that it's not put in on time, hopefully that's not the case. Are we still able to get the Cross Christmas tree if the sustainable Christmas tree is not put in on time?
Chair, we're confident that we can do that. We're ahead of ourselves compared to last year. I would anticipate that we'll place the order in over the next number of weeks, and the turnaround for that should be within a 3 or 4 weeks. But as well as that, you know, we've had different Christmases in the past where we've placed in a Christmas tree into a town, and with weather, it's broken. And we've had to go out then at short notice and get another tree from the from the Forest Service. So if things fail, I'm confident at short notice we'll be able to get Cross Midland and any other towns that we would be letting down a cut Christmas tree for this year if we're not able to put the sustainable one in.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Okay, that's it for item 6. We had a proposer from Councillor Andrews, and that was seconded by Councillor McKevitt. So we'll move on to item 7, which is the Enforcement Improvement Plan update. And Johnny, assistant with Joe, is going to talk on this one.
Yes, Chair, thank you very much. Hope you can hear me. Members, the purpose of this particular report is to provide you with an update on the implementation of the Enforcement Improvement Plan. And as a little bit of background, you may recall the plan was previously agreed by this committee back in June last year. In terms of its structure, it's broken down into a series of short-term, up 6 months, medium-term, up to 12 months, and longer-term, 12 months plus actions across several themes. And what I would say, Chair, is the themes and actions contained within the plan will remain an iterative process and will be added to as the Council priorities change. For example, we had a recent motion adopted in the Council about the DNA testing of dog fouling, and there's a separate piece of work to research what other councils are doing that and to bring a report back to this committee on the cost benefits of doing so. The other, Chair, issue to point out in terms of its structure, that the status of each of the actions as laid out in Appendix 1 are used using a traffic light, red, amber, green reporting method, and hopefully that should be pretty self-explanatory. Chair, I don't propose to go through each of the specific initiatives and their status in the plan, and I am more than happy to take member questions or comments on it. But really, in summary, what I would say is that there has been improvement in specific areas. So, for example, we have now recruited additional staff. We have now issued more fixed penalty notices in 2019-20 than we did in the previous year. However, Chair, it is also recognised that there's a considerable amount of work to be undertaken to complete the plan in full. And maybe what I would say is that the current COVID-19 crisis hasn't helped matters either, whereby it has either prevented specific initiatives from being implemented, or it has diverted management attention towards prioritising other services. And the obvious one there is the waste collection service to the public. Sure. You referenced Joe as well. What we have included in the report report is at Appendix 2 is the outcomes of a local benchmarking exercise with other local authorities concerning where they have improved their own enforcement. And really what I would say, and I know Joe would back me on this, is that we want to use that information again to identify what they have done to feed into further refinements of this plan. And then at Appendix 3 is the 2019-20, which is the latest Keep NI Beautiful Cleaner Neighbourhoods report, which again will also provide members with some important benchmarking information in terms of council performance. As I say, Chair, happy to take any questions or any comments, but in terms of decisions required, if we maybe ask members just to note the contents of the report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. We have a few questions in there, and the same applies to Councillor Walker. I'll take you in at the end, Councillor Walker, as you're not on the committee. So we'll start with Councillor Taylor.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Chair, it's something I've discussed with officials. I have been looking at submitting a notice of motion just on our, you know, of the enforcement issues, and given what we're thankful for the report, first of all, but given that we have the opportunity tonight, it was probably felt best that I could bring forward a proposal here rather than going through the issue of a notice of motion. So, you know, so I obviously want happy to propose a note, the comments that are all that's included in the report, but I would also like to make a recommendation that, you know, we could write to the Dairy Minister to request that, you know, the maximum amount of payable under a fixed penalty notice in respect of littering and dog fouling offences, that they be increased from the current limit of £80 to £250. I would also ask for officers if they could report to members on the annual cost of district cleansing enforcement in relation to littering and dog fouling offences, and that would be with a view to implementing further proposals which may assist in achieving a polluter's pay principle, for instance, in the district, including but not limited to the possibility of requesting devolving powers for setting fixed penalty rates to local councils.
Okay, thank you, David. Johnny, do you want to take all the questions at once, or?
Yeah, sure, that's probably easier if that's okay.
Yeah, that's no problem. Okay, next there is Councillor Casey. Councillor Casey?
First question is probably a wee bit tongue-in-cheek, Chair. If somebody from IT is listening, maybe you could tell me how to get through my agenda silently. I don't want to be the bad pupil here, because this is the second time I've been chastised on this committee. Next time I'll be asked to stand outside the room for an hour, I suppose. Just a few things, Johnny. The best practice for neighbouring councils, when are we due to get that report? I know that we're going to get best practice from Ards and North Down and Louth County Council and Armagh, Banbridge and Craigavon. When is that due to happen? I know you mentioned it there in your earlier summary.
Okay,
and,
thanks. Councillor
Casey. One other piece that TBNI Tidy document, it's a very damning one. Total spend in 17 and 18 was $29.5 million to lift litter, and at one time our council contribution to that was $1.2 million. Could you give us our current contribution to lifting litter off the street? What's the cost to the local ratepayers? And one other thing that caught my eye in it, Johnny, was the very fact that at any given day there's 1.3 million pieces of litter on our street. Wild. That's the seats throughout the 11 councils. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Andrews?
Thanks very much, Chair. My computer's literally down here, so I'm going to have to get a charge, going to get a charger. But I'd like to thank the officers for all the hard work that has gone into this paper. I always encourage them, I'm a firm supporter of all efforts to eradicate the scourge of dog fouling and littering all across the district. I know Billy has circulated a picture there, but I'll not see this thunder out there. But more or less, I would like that I've raised before that on the question of bylaws. As a council, have we got the power to amend bylaws and modernise existing bylaws up to present day, you know, equivalents? You know, for example, amending the bylaws to up the fines, and also to name and shame people of offenders, you know, because I think if it would change attitudes, wonderful. So as I say, I would be grateful if that could be considered in the mix as well, that we consult our legal department to see if we draft and replace the existing bylaws and bring them up to date. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. And finally, Councillor Clark, you have a question?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I suppose to start with, all the issues that the recent motions over this past, I suppose, year, you know, the outcomes are all tabled in the strategy, and we're working our way through that strategy. And I suppose, like everyone, you want to see it move faster than it is. But I suppose it's down to resources as well. But I think if we can complete everything that's in the strategy, we'll go some way to, you know, improving the situation with litter and dog fouling. So I just want to mention that first. In regards to you know, the keeping the estates clean and that in a general basis, and that there is a discrepancy between, you know, legacy Newry Mourne and legacy Down. It's my experience in our area and our estates. The mechanical sweepers are not in the estates. You know, they're not being cleaned on a regular basis. And I think that's something that needs to be looked at. I know in our neighbourhood services working group, where we were looking at improving the street scene aspect, we were looking at that discrepancy and see if we could improve that. You know, some of the estates haven't been cleaned in years, and you can see that through community cleanups and that's right, probably right across the board. But we need to ensure that the areas are being cleansed, to say, firstly. In regards to the issues in regards to dog fouling, that continues to be a major problem. And there seems to be a breakdown, a communication between, environmental health and our own department, neighbourhood services. When you're phoning through that there's a dog, you give the address. Big dogs roaming about the estates. I brought it to the attention about a Keita dog running about through the Burndale estate. And nothing happened. I give the address and I give everything. No fixed penalties, nothing. A letter was written out to the owner. And then the very next day, the dog was back out running down the main street towards Tesco. You know, so I think there's a breakdown in that, and I think that needs to be looked at. If you're given accurate information, and with dangerous dogs, never mind, you know, dog fouling, I think that there has to be an improvement in regards to that communication and working out, you know, getting out of silo mentality. In regards to, it's like everything else, your parochial, there's a couple of playgrounds, and I think I raised it before, Macarag Playground and Burndale Park Playground, but there's no signage, nothing. And they're being basically used as toilets, dog toilets. So if signage could be put up there and a bit of enforcement in regards to the MRAs, I would appreciate it greatly. Just in regards to Councillor Taylor's proposal in regards to, you know, amending the legislation and you know, increasing the fines for the fixed penalties, I agree entirely. We need to do that. And I'd second his proposal that we do write to Dara in regards to that. And look at the Clean Neighbourhood legislation, the secondary legislation, and amend that. I think that will be very important moving forward. It shouldn't be a big job of work. But there is gaps in how councils are able to manage. We can only do so much as councils. We can improve bylaws, and it's my understanding the bylaws are being looked at currently. So I'm happy enough to propose Councillor Taylor's proposal.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Clark. We'll now take Councillor Walker's question.
Thank you very much, Chair. I don't know where you got the two photographs that I'd sent. Did you get them?
I'm not sure.
I opened up, Billy, they sent your photographs of the same.
Yes, well, I'd sent them, and obviously, hopefully, you've got them. No, tell you what it is. I also welcome the paper. It's something that is one of my pet hates. I brought
two motions over the years, one in the old council and one at the start of this new council in relation to dog fouling. Now, in relation to Councillor Taylor, I totally agree. I was going to say tonight that I can't vote, but I was hoping that someone would bring that proposal forward in relation to writing to the executive to get the fixed penalty increased, because £80 is not a deterrent, so it's not. Now, I would also, and hopefully Councillor Taylor would maybe include this, and it maybe give us a stronger hand, that we write to the other 10 councils, asking them to do likewise. I do know that my colleagues on Ards and North Down brought a motion forward in relation to dog fouling and asked for the fines to be increased to 250 and to write to the executive. So Ards and North Down is doing that. So I would like to think that our council would write to the other councils asking for their support and asking them to write, because this is getting out of hand now. It's been spoke about from I've come into the chamber 15 years. Nothing has been done. Now, another proposal that I would like to see, and it's sent a photograph, and if, for example, you haven't got the photographs, I will email them to every councillor and then you will see them. In the Oak Craig Avon Council, they divide signage, so they did, and put them up in hot spots. Dog fouling decreased by 95%. The figures was there, so they were at the time. I think we should be exploring everything, so we should in relation to it, because we need to send out a signal here that our council in Uri Morning Down is going to get tough on dog fouling. Now, I know 250 was mentioned. I would have fixed it at £500. So would have, one of the things that I was sending you, and the saying at the previous meeting, over July, I was in Donegal and went to 10, 11 different villages, towns. Not one bit of dog dirt did I see. And I come across a sign, I've taken a photo, and I'll send it to you, where the maximum penalty for dog fouling was €3,000. I think that's one of the reasons you don't see dog dirt in Donegal County, because they know they're going to be hitting the pocket. Now, we need to send a strong message out here to the culprits out there, and it's only a handful, that we will not tolerate it. And I'm glad that Councillor Taylor has made a proposal, seconded by Councillor Clark, that we up it to 250. I would up it to 500, but I would like to think, hopefully, Councillor Taylor would accept that we also write to the other councils seeking their support.
Glad to see Billy approaching an all-Ireland approach.
just coming in, Councillor Clark, I give credit where credit's due. You know, you don't see one bit of dog dirt, you don't see one bit of litter. And I think it's because the signage and that they've up, and the bylaws they've up there. You know, at the end of the day, if it deals with it in Uri Morning Down, I'm happy enough to go along with it.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Walker.
Okay. I'm happy to accept that we write to other councils on the issue as well. I'm happy to accept that. So.
Chair, can I come in here? Harold McKee here.
Sorry, Harold, sorry.
You see, yes, I second David, but I had to wait
sorry,
till
he... Sorry, Harold, I thought you were just seconding it. That's okay.
I thought he had to wait till he proposed, and then I seconded it. But I'm seconding it, and I absolutely agree with everything that's said about it, because I, where I live, at the end of my lane, I am a victim of people who, with their wee fancy dog bags, throw them off at the end of the lane. We have confronted them with it. Oh, no, it wasn't my dog, and everybody knows the story there. But, no, thank goodness, and I just hope that this works and this can be brought into being. Thank you.
Okay, do you want to come in there?
Yes, Chair. I would echo a lot of the comments of the elected members in terms of the sentiment and the points made. If we could maybe just break down the responses based on the issues raised by the respective elected members. In terms of the annual cost and the income potentially in fixed penalty notices, and I think also linked to Councillor Casey's request for costs of cleansing. Chair, I don't have that information at hand and I wouldn't want to give you an estimate, but maybe if members would accept, I'd bring a paper back to the next meeting. Which would provide members of the cost to the council for those respective services based on the 1920, which would be the most recent financial year. There was a comment made by Councillor Casey in relation to best practice from other councils. Maybe I'd ask for Joe Parks to come in at the end of when I finished, just to give an update on where he was in terms of the benchmarking with those neighbouring councils and when we can expect to see a report. With regards to Councillor Andrews' comments about amending bylaws, yes, we can do that, Chair, and indeed it's included within the plan, whereby we previously considered extending the number of dog control orders to other locations. The background to that is it was quite narrow in terms of geographical scope, and it has been confirmed by our legal services that the Clean Neighbourhoods and Environment Act 2011 allows us to do that. Regrettably, progress has been limited in that area, and that's something that I hear loud and clear and needs to be prioritised. What we can't do, Chair, is we can't increase the fines. That would have to come from the Northern Ireland Executive, and that refers back to the previous recommendation presented here by Councillor Taylor. In terms of naming and shaming offenders, again, that is something that we've previously discussed in the plan. And what the advice that we have to date got from our legal services is that it would be inappropriate to name members of the public where a fine has been paid. I would ask members to note that where a fine is not paid by the public and that it then goes to the courts, those members of the public are automatically named in the public domain. What we could do, instead of duplicating that, and that was previously considered before as part of this plan, is maybe report by DEA or by community as opposed to naming specific offenders for the reasons I've outlined. In terms of the comments from Councillor Clark, yes, it is recognised that there are operational differences between the two legacy districts in terms of cleansing, both in relation to the level of mechanisation, the frequency of cleansing, but also in terms of employee terms and conditions. And that is something that will be subject to review by management. It has already been identified as an area that needs to be addressed. There were comments made, I think also by Councillor Clark, about better, my words, closer working between environmental health, waste management and indeed potentially building control, because they are currently responsible for dog wardens. And what I would say there, Chair, is that the structural challenges that we have in the council are recognised. Officers do in those services currently collaborate. And I think, Chair, maybe planning for the future as a restructuring exercise in the council is probably the most appropriate forum to address that. I'm not involved in that, so it would be inappropriate for me to comment on that. There was some additional comments from Councillor Clark about signage and from Councillor Walker about signage. We are currently doing that. Certainly we have been erecting more signage, but I think there's not one sort of silver bullet which is the solution to all of this. I think as we work through the implementation of the plan and focus on two main strands of education and enforcement, we'll see the benefits and hopefully see an improvement in terms of the level of cleansing, but more importantly, particularly in relation to dog fouling across our district. I think I've covered everything, Chair, unless I've missed something you please point it out.
No, I think that's everything, Johnny. Thank you. So that item was just for noting, but we had a proposed action from Councillor Taylor, which was seconded by Councillor Clark. So if everyone's happy, we'll move on to item 8.
Chair, sorry, if I could just come in there. I think there was one of the questions on the review of the neighbouring councils, and I know it's something that Joe is working on at the moment. So, Joe, we'd be in a position to bring something back to next month just on the benchmarking for our neighbouring councils.
Chair, yes, I will be able to do that. I've actually been in contact with them. I think the most interesting one is the Argent North Down. And again, we've been able to get information from them. ABC is another council that has been quite interesting to look at and how they deal with dog foul and litter. So let's say it shouldn't be a difficulty to have something back on the neighbouring councils for the next.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Councillor Walker, you just have a point of information there.
Yes, yes, and thanks for letting me in again, Chair. It's in relation to naming and shaming. I know I'd raised this before, even in the old council, and that people should know whose dogs is doing it now. And I know we've sought legal advice in relation to it. What reason did they give? Wrong that if you find someone, effectively they've accepted the fine, so their dog has done it, and that it'd be different maybe if they didn't pay the fine and argued the point that it wasn't their dog, but they paid the fine in that. What reason are they given, and why are they saying, oh, well, don't put their name in the paper in that? Because I think that these people's names should appear in the paper. You know, legally, why are they saying not? Effectively, by accepting the fine, they're accepting their dog has done it.
Sorry, Chair, I'm not sure I can give an answer to that question to Councillor Walker, but what we can do is get an update from our legal department on the query that was originally raised. I think it was last year. I'm asking Johnny here if it was some time ago, but we'll see if we can get something back to Councillor Walker on that.
That's very much appreciated.
Thank you, Roland. Okay, so if everyone's happy, we'll move on to item 8. Item 8 is the recovery of the bulky collection service, and Johnny is going to talk on this one.
Yes, Chair, thank you again. Members, the purpose of this was to update you on the recovery of that service, and you'll be aware it had been suspended since the onset of the current COVID-19 pandemic. What I can confirm, Chair, is that the service was recovered on Monday the 10th of August. However, it is currently being operated with several restrictions, and they are largely due to additional infection control measures to protect both the public and indeed council staff. In terms of those restrictions, we are unable to collect sofas and armchairs, mattresses and beds, soft furnishings and carpets, and like repeating myself, but that is due to infection control risks, and also because a number of the council's waste processing contractors have in recent times raised issues with the receipt and processing of those materials. What I can say, Chair, is that we will keep that under constant review, and we will enhance the service at the earliest opportunity in accordance with a reduced COVID-19 risk. What I would also maybe say, Chair, in support of the recovery of the service, we have introduced a number of infection control measures, which I referred to earlier, and these include one, the requirement for all householders to leave items out for collection for 72 hours beforehand, the disinfectant spraying of items by council staff prior to loading, and the requirement for householders to notify the council prior to collection of any member of their household self-isolating. Chair, as I say, the service was recovered on the 10th of August. I'm happy to report that it seems to be operating well, and we've had positive feedback from the public. No decision required, Chair, other than ask members to note the contents of the report. And again, happy to take any comments or questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. We just proposal and a question in there from Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. I'm happy to propose and welcome the reintroduction of the services. And I know that with the current situation in Berlin, we have to be very careful. But will members of the public, will through social media and advertisements or whatever, will the message be made available to the wider public in general of what they have to do in relation to this? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Okay, so that one that's proposed by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Casey. So if everyone's happy, we'll move on to item 9. And this is the DARA consultation. And Roland, you're going to take this one.
Thank you, Chair. Apologies, couldn't find the mute button there to start talking again. So, yes, Chair, I'll be brief here. So DARA is seeking views on a public discussion document named The Future Recycling and Separation of Waste on a Household Nature in Northern Ireland. The document itself will not introduce any new policies, but we rather seek views on improving the quality and quantity of household and non-household recyclates across NI. It seeks views on a series of proposals of what our future recycling environment could look like, and also makes suggestions on possible ways to improve it. The consultation is out and they're looking for responses by early October. Some of the key issues within the discussion document are about the frequency of food waste collections, such as weekly food waste collections. They also pose questions in relation to how recycling can be collected and should it be segregated at the curbside. They pose questions on the restrictions of residual waste, whether it be frequency or capacity, which is your black bin. And then there's a number of other points, but some of them looking at statutory legislation in terms of how recycling services are operated. In total, there's 49 questions, so I'm not proposing to go through them all this evening, but what officers are recommending is that we will work up a draft response. We will bring that back to committee in September, and by that stage we will also have attended a number of workshops arranged by DERA to facilitate discussion for all interested parties. So that's the recommendation, Chair. I'm happy to take any questions at this point, but it's quite a lengthy document, so if members want to feed anything back directly, I'm happy to take that on board.
Okay, thank you, Roland. We've just a couple of questions in there from Councillor Clark first.
Thanks, Chair. Roland, just now, agree with what you've outlined there. I think it's such an important, you know, piece of legislation that is coming through, and we do have to get it right. And could be extremely costly for councils moving forward. So, while we're saying we will get a response back to this committee, I was just wondering if it's an opportunity maybe that for members to have a workshop for a greater understanding, even if it is through digital. Have a number of presentations maybe to give the committee a better understanding of what is in front of us, you know, and get a better output, if that's possible. Sure.
Chair, if I can come in there just to make members aware, I believe that NILGA is operating a workshop for all councillors across NI. I think it's possibly next week, which I can get that date and circulate that. But if, by all means, if members want us to walk through the documentation, we can do that as well. I'm at the committee's disposal, Chair.
Yeah, sure, that's fine. Even we've got, you know, it's probably short notice, the NILGA one, and maybe the NILGA members are going to that, and I think some of the ARC members might be going to that too. But even we've got the content of that discussion, then, you know, we could maybe roll it out to the whole committee. Ron?
Can I
thank
do that,
you?
Councillor McKee?
Yes, Chair. Just on that subject, I just look on my phone here. I have signed in for that NILGA workshop, Future Recycling. It's on Thursday the 27th at 10 o'clock, and it's by Zoom. I have it on Zoom here. I don't know why, but I think it is Zoom. So that's 10 o'clock on Thursday coming. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Harold. And finally, Councillor Owen.
Hi, mine's just a quick question there. I see key issues on that report, Chair, is that it says there to improve recycling from households in Northern Ireland, key recycling targets are blah, 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 60% by 2030. Are we not already hitting that anyway as a council? We're pretty good, I would have thought, anyway. Just that's a random question. Thanks.
We're actually performing quite well, Councillor Owen, you're right. We're somewhere between, I couldn't give the exact figure, but somewhere between 50 and 55 at the moment, probably somewhere in the middle of that. I think the big feeling amongst councils is to get over 60 and get towards 65 is going to be a real challenge, and it will take significant changes in behaviour to reach that.
Okay, thank you, Roland. Okay, that was just for noting that item 9, so we'll move on to item 10. And item 10 is the reopening plan of the HRCs. And Johnny is going to take this one.
Yes, Chair, thanks again. Members, I've just noticed that in your reports pack, the appendix is actually acting as the cover paper, so they are back to front. So what you have as Appendix 1 should actually be the cover report, and that will have at the top of it the to-date committee. So, Chair, again, the purpose is just to provide members with an update on the reopening of the Council's Household Recycling Centres. And members recall a previous update was presented to the committee on the 17th of June. Where we are at the moment, Chair, is at Phase 2, whereby 7 of the 10 sites are currently open on a 5-day basis, Monday to Friday, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m, with the Cross and Glen site open on a 3-day basis, Tuesday to a Thursday, based on the same public opening hours. This current phase also saw increases in the types and quantities of waste materials that could be accepted. And what I would say, Chair, it is currently heavily dependent upon a 3-person staffing model due to the current risks presented by COVID-19. Chair, what I can confirm is that from the 24th of August, which will be next Monday, the intention is to implement the next phase of the plan, and this will include continuing to operate the Newry, Kilkee, Kamla, Warren Point, Downpatrick, Castlewell and Ballinahinch sites on a 5-day basis, Monday to Friday, based on the previous hours, but then changing the public opening days of the Cross and Glen site, effective from Monday the 24th, from a Tuesday to a Thursday, to a Monday to a Wednesday arrangement, and that is in order to enable a dual staffing operation to be implemented due to reduced risks on that site. What I would say, Chair, is that will then also enable the reopening of the Newton Hamilton site. So the Newton Hamilton site would then reopen on an initial 2 days per week basis, which would be a Thursday and a Friday. So the first date of opening, the intention would be for Newton Hamilton to be on Thursday the 27th of August. What we've also been able successfully to do is, in addition to the Cross and Glen and Newton Hamilton sites, is also to reduce the Warren Point site from a 3-person staffing operation to a dual staffing operation. And that will mean that both Warren Point, Cross and Glen and Newton Hamilton sites will also close for 30 minutes during the day from 12.30 to 1 p.m. With last permitted entry prior to that at 12.15. And that will be again to enable a dual staffing operation. What I would say, Chair, and this is consistent with the bulky collection service, is that we're constantly keeping it under review with regards to the future recovery of the service, including Saturday opening, as well as the reopening of the Hill Town site. However, this is dependent upon having sufficient staffing levels available, and regrettably, I am not in a position at this time to give members a definitive timetable for that. As with other updates for other service recovery, and indeed this one, we will continue to give members regular updates as the plan is implemented, with the public also being kept regularly informed. Again, Chair, there's no specific decision required attached to this, other than ask members just to note the update, but I am happy to take any questions or comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. We have a few questions in here. I'd just like to say to Councillor Tinley and Councillor O'Hare that I'll take you in at the end as you aren't on the committee, so if that's okay. So first up there with question is Councillor Riley.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Roland, very disappointed, no Saturday opening, and I've emailed and requested that we try and accommodate Saturday opening, because for essential staff who are working 5 days a week, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday to Friday, simply no good to them. And if Saturday opening can't be accommodated, why not, or because of manpower issues, why not make it Tuesday to Saturday and drop one of the weekdays? Because the number of people come to, I'm sure all councillors are getting it, that it's really inconvenient for them. And if that's not possible, why not have a couple of late evening openings? Because we do need to accommodate the people who work during the week and just cannot, you know, they're being totally disenfranchised here and that they can't use the facility. Also, Roland, not being critical, And I know we're under pressure on a whole range of issues, but the bin collection service does seem to be becoming more unreliable, and a lot of areas being missed, and then it's very difficult to get the bins that have been missed collected. And some of the advice we've been getting as councillors is tell people to package whatever's in the bins and bring it to the recycling centre. There again, that's not acceptable. And I think we need to think long and hard about how we present, how we work with the public on these issues. But certainly we need to accommodate essential workers. That is a massive issue. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. First of all, can I welcome the proposal for Newton Hamilton to reopen again? It's something that I've been torturing, rolled about over the last period of time, so glad to see that we've some progress on that. In an ideal world, it would be open full time, but I understand the pressures that we're under at this stage, and the fact that there is some movement on it is progress. There's obviously going to be a change to Cross McLean, which is also mighty. And I would obviously hope that we can get the right marketing out on that in terms of advising people that, you know, there is that change in days that there was previously over the last number of weeks and months for that household recycling centre site. In terms of Henry's made a comment about Saturdays, and that's something that I've been getting as well about, it's probably the day that people find easiest to be able to dump stuff because of work commitments and whatever, and the sooner we can get that service back the better, to allow people to be facilitated in that regard. So Henry's right that is an issue that's coming up fairly regular. And again, Henry mentioned about issues with the bin collection service, and it's something that's probably going to raise under any other business, but I can take the opportunity now. I've had quite a few issues I've been reporting over the last number of weeks regarding bin collection problems. I have to say, Johnny, all the other guys have been very good at handling those issues and dealing with those issues for me. But one of the issues I'm finding actually that's causing part of the problem is we have a lot of roadworks going on in various areas at the minute, and there has been issues with bin lorries getting access to housing estates and roads because of the work going on, and there appears to have maybe been a reluctance from some contractors to work with it. The guys that are obviously collecting the bins.
Sorry, Mr. Taylor, can I just stop you there? Sorry, this is just focusing on the reopening of the HRCs, so we're not really taking any other business on this item.
Yeah, well, sorry, it was just a relation, Chair. It was a quick. All I wanted to say was if we could maybe contact DFI to try and get some commitment from these contractors that they don't interfere with the bin collection service. That's all I wanted to say, really. It was just when Henry had mentioned that it just took the opportunity now. So I think, if we could get some contact with DFI on that issue to try and get some better relationship between the contractors and ourselves, I think that's required to try and help the bin collection issues that there are. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. John, are you okay to take a few questions in a row, or do you want to come in on any of them?
No, Chair, I'm happy to take all the questions at once, if that's okay.
Yeah, no problem. Councillor Mason?
Thanks, Chair. Look, it was really two questions. The first one's already been asked, and it was regarding the Saturday openings as well. Like all the councillors, I'm getting questioned on it all the time. The second one is regarding the Hilltown Recycling Centre. It's really regrettable that it's still not open, and I know my colleague, Councillor Herr, is getting it in the neck constantly about it, that there's absolutely no opening in it at all. Look, I completely understand, as do we all, that there's restrictions and stuff in place, but surely there has to be some way of overcoming this, even if it's just very, very limited opening. It just sort of feels, I suppose, to the people in that community that everywhere else is open in some way, shape or form, and it's still not. So just to see if there's any movement whatsoever on it.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Mason. Councillor McKevitt.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Just I have been maybe waiting to ask a question about Hilltown also, and I just noticed on page 6 with reference 2.4 on the council review plans and that ultimate recovery of it being successful. It's quoted here and saying it's about related risks, it's about staffing resources and consultation with trade union reps. And that's to do with the opening of Saturday opening and the like of Hilltown as well, which a lot of people have been saying, oh, they're out working and they can't get, the only day they can really get is a Saturday, so we're quite keen to see that date. But just given that there seems to be some form of a dispute meeting in the background, do Roland or Johnny of that see any difficulty, particularly when it's mentioned that with trade union reps there's a consultation going, that there could be a further delay, also with maybe further restrictions possibly coming from the Assembly this week to do with COVID? You know, where would that leave us? Because the people really do need this service badly. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor McKevitt. All staffing issues will be discussed in committee, so we'll take a question there from Councillor Casey.
Thank you very much, Chair. I understand the difficulties that Council have trying to restore the HRCs to pre-COVID services. It is difficult to manage staffing and whatever you have. Mine is directly related to that. I mean, you said in an earlier piece of the agenda that the little chatty bags were available only at the household recycling centres. So there is, I'd just like to know how much of a take-up there is on that at household recycling centres. And could we not do, some of the people who are coming to me looking for those little brown bags, I'm sorry to get back to that again, would have a limited opportunity of visiting any recycling centre at any time, especially during the week. Saturday would be their best day. So can we make them available to elected members and we can distribute them around the community associations? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Casey. And last on the committee there is Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair, and I welcome, Johnny, the paper and the news that we're now up to Phase 3. I'd also like to, along with other councillors, could have asked that the Saturday opening be taken into account or under consideration, because as other previous speakers have alluded to, they have a lot of people are off on Saturdays, and maybe drop in lieu of a day at the start of the week and put Saturday in. But again, I welcome everything else. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Tinley, as a non-member, you wanted to ask a question?
Yes, thank you, Chair, and thank you for allowing me in. Chair, listen, I don't intend to steal Councillor O'Hare's thunder, but just to follow on from what Councillor Mason said, I too do get multiple calls in relation to the Hilltown site every week. Chair, that Hilltown site has been closed now for over 4 months, and I just don't think it's acceptable that it's the only one out of the 10 that there's no plan in place about how it is going to reopen. I know physically, sure, it's a very small site, but I go back again to the point previously made. There's been months now to put a plan in action to how that is going to reopen. Councillors, as always, Chair, don't have the luxury of being able to fluff these things away and say it's going to open, but we've no idea when. We get incredible grief over this, and these household recycling centres, especially the more rural ones, they're very important to the people in the neighbouring areas. That was one point, Chair, because I'm sure Councillor O'Hearn needs to come in on that. The second one was, Chair, I get quite a few calls about this one as well, particularly in relation to Warren Point. The signage out, Chair, at the Warren Point site says say closed at 4 o'clock, when we know there's a 15-minute break to not allow any additional traffic in. But that 15 minutes, Chairperson, has become 20 and 25 minutes some days. And I get calls from people that have been sitting in a queue of 3 or 4 vehicles and have been there 45 minutes before the scheduled closing time, till all of a sudden see the gate being pulled over and they don't get in. And it's not 15 minutes, it's 25 minutes before they are. So all I'm looking for, Chair, is an assurance that the signage can be updated to actually reflect the realities of what's happening in each site. There's no point in putting a sign up to say it closed at 4 o'clock if a car can't get in, Chair, at half 3. And further to that, then, we're going to have another period during the day of a 45-minute break for cleansing purposes as well, not only at Warren Point, at all sites. So could I just plead and ask the officers that accurate signage is put up at the sites? And thank you for your indulgence, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Kennelly. I see Councillor Finnegan's in with a question there now, but considering I've taken Councillor Tinley, I'll take Councillor O'Hare as he's been waiting. So, Councillor O'Hare.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. This is to Ronan. It's common knowledge, Ronan, that the Hilltown Recycling Centre is not owned by the council. So, as Charlotte sort of put it across there, like it's not only Hilltown people that use that site, it's people from the Strever, Neo Bridge, and maybe further away as well. So I'm getting a lot of grief. Most Crockleaf councillors are getting grief. So can you guarantee me as a Hilltown councillor, Crockleaf councillor, that site will open again? Because the rumours are flying about left, right and centre that it's closing. So I just want to verify it is going to open. And I would love to get a date, because you promised ourselves that it will be open in August. I was talking to you on Monday. I called you on Monday, and you were saying the short of staff, which is understandable, but there was another thing you said, that the little cabin that the workers sit in, basically, it's not big enough for two people, you know. So when is that going to get fixed? Like, obviously, you had known that since March, really, Ronan, you know. So I'd just like a few answers, really. So thanks, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor O'Hare. And finally, Councillor Finnegan.
Yeah, can you hear me there? Yes. Yeah, just a comment. Dad, I did see that you know, there is some sites that are opening on 5 days. Cross McGlen is excluded in that, and they're staying for the 3 days. Like every other councillor, I'm sure, I'm getting absolutely inundated about you know, asking when are they open, what's the hours of opening, and I just find it's very frustrating, and I'm sure very frustrating for the constituents that are coming to me, that not only is Cross and Glen still staying open for 3 days, but the days are actually being swapped, and then there's going to be a half an hour closed. And it's just frustrating, I think. And obviously, I know I'm very new, and I'm only reading the agenda, but I think it's worth noting that it is a frustrating time opening, sales swapping, half an hour's closed, and I think it's just something that we need to think about for councillors that are being hounded by questions, and for constituents who are not getting a Saturday opening day, and the days that they are opening, they may turn up and not realise that they're actually swapping. So it's just a comment. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Finnegan. Johnny, would you like to come back on all those, please?
Sorry, I couldn't find the mute button. Yeah, Chair, I mean, what I would say is I am very sympathetic to the comments from the elected members and indeed the general public in terms of extending sites to be opened, and also extending opening hours to include Saturdays. But the key issue, Chair, that members need to be aware of is that my staffing complement is not sufficient to recover the service to pre-COVID levels. COVID and indeed the social distancing requirements from the executive have created several risks whereby I am required to staff each of the sites by three people. Okay, we have undertaken a review of that risk assessment, particularly on the smaller sites. And for those that I have identified in the report, we have managed to reduce from three-person operation down to two. But they are still presenting significant risks in terms of COVID. And it's maybe worth noting that other councils are still operating in their household recycling centres based on restrictions in terms of opening hours and in terms of materials and quantities of waste materials accepted. I, along with my colleagues, are working particularly hard to try and find a solution that allows us to reopen those sites that are currently closed, and also to extend the opening hours for the sites that are currently open. But it comes down to staffing levels. I am currently using staff from another service within the Neighbourhood Services Directorate, and that was not an issue up until very recently, because those services have been stooped down to prioritise other services, particularly in waste. However, as those services themselves are recovered, those staff are being taken back by their parent services. That leaves me with a deficit. Now, I can assure elected members that I am having conversations with other directorates in the council about exploring opportunities for staff to be redeployed to my service to enable the future recovery of the HRCs, but that has not been concluded yet.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. So, Councillor Andrews proposed item 10. Could I have a second to that, please?
Chair, I think the item was just for noting.
Item 10.
Just for noting, Chair.
Is it just for noting? Sorry about that.
Chair, okay. Could I perhaps just come in, because I know that a councillor here asked me a question just in terms of could I guarantee that it will reopen. What I would say is we as officers are working as hard as we can to reopen Hilltown. No decision has been taken despite the rumours on the ground that Hilltown will not be opening, and officers working hard to get it to reopen. That is our goal.
Okay, thank you, Roland. Okay, we'll move on to items 11 and 12. We're going to take these two together for ARC 2021, and Johnny is going to speak on these.
Yeah, Chair, they're just for noting. Again, I'm happy to take any comments and questions, but I don't propose to go through the papers.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. Is anyone any issues on the ARC 21 documents?
The question from Councillor McKee.
Okay.
Yes, just Chair, one of the things that was raised from time to time, I am a member of ARC 21, and it's in relation to where is Newry Moreland Down Council on the 11 Council Waste Management Plan, and a waste management plan which all councils are to be involved in, but they are not singling out Newry Moreland Down. I'm just singling them out to see what work have we done. Apparently there is perhaps a breakdown of communications with so many councils trying to work this up together, so maybe someone could enlighten us there. Maybe Roland, you would know first hand what's happening there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Harold. Councillor Andrews, would you like to speak on that?
Chair, I can answer that question. We have the 11 councils do work together. There will be a special meeting on the waste management plan for NI, I think it's in September, and that's coordinated through the Council Waste Forum, which is the 11 councils. There's a crowd of acronyms here. The GWWG, which is the councils and central government, work together, and then the Northern Ireland Strategic Waste Partnership, which is essentially representatives from Solus, central government and councils. So the three key bodies will be meeting in September, I understand, to look at the waste plan going forward.
Thanks, Roland. Okay, thank you. Thanks, Chair.
I'm just saying Councillor Casey has a note on there that his question on the carry bags wasn't answered on the last item. Does Roland, do you want to come in on that?
Yes, Chair. I mean, I think we covered it on earlier in the paper. We were looking at the options for getting these carry bags out.
Okay, thank you, Roland. Okay, item 13 is the ARC 21 corporate plan from 2020 to 2024, and that's Johnny again.
Yes, Chair, this is also for noting. I don't propose to go through the plan presented by ARC21, but again, if members have any comments or questions, I can take them back to ARC21 to be answered.
Thank you, Johnny. Doesn't seem to be any questions there. Okay, item 14 is the Historic Actions Tracking Sheet from Neighbourhood Services Committee. Roland, are you taking that?
Just for noting, Chair, unless... Yeah. Any matters that members are still raised.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Sorry, Chair, Councillor Clark has a question.
Sorry. Councillor Clark, go ahead.
Chair, I wasn't quick enough. Thanks, sir. It's more in regards to something that's not on the Historic Action Sheet. It's in regards to access to the beach at Glen River Car Park in Newcastle. We had agreed on the committee that we would go out to tender for a ramp or steps, preferably a ramp because of disability access. We were to get a marine license at the same time as the tender would go out. I met Kevin on site, so Kevin would be aware of what the issue is. So maybe, Kevin, could you update where we're at in it?
Sure, yes. It was repair to the concrete steps there. I suppose we did get the marine license, so we have the marine license. We did go out to tender, or it was a value for money exercise, and we did appoint a contractor. I need to check where that's at. I would have thought it would have been completed at this stage. Perhaps it has been delayed because of the COVID situation, but it's one that's dropped off our agenda, and now that we've been reminded about it, we'll engage with the contractor again, and I'll advise the councillor when the works are to take place.
That's fair enough. Thank you. No, the works have been taken place, Kevin.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Okay, we'll move on to the next step. So, items 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 and 22 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. So can I ask for a proposer and seconder to go into closed session, please?
So proposed, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. And seconded by Councillor. Item 15, the recycling of mattresses. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor McKevitt, it was agreed to note the content of the report and agree to the recommendations contained at 2.3 and 2.4 of the report in relation to the recycling of mattresses. Item 16, business case for the use of a suitable fuel supply framework to support the use of fuel cards. On the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note the content of the report and approve the business case for the use of a suitable fuel supply framework to support the use of fuel cards across the entire district. Item 17, the business case for the supply and delivery of biomass wood pellets. On the proposal of Councillor Riley, seconded by Councillor Clark, it was agreed to note the content of the report and associated business case and accept the conclusion of the business case to proceed to tender for a biomass wood pellet supplier for an initial 12-month contract with a view to extending to 24 months. Item 18, the business case for annual servicing and maintenance of firefighting equipment in council buildings. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor McKevitt, it was agreed to note the content of the report and associated business case and accept the conclusion of the business case to see the appointment through a tender process of a competent contractor to inspect, maintain and testing of all firefighting equipment and buildings in the Council's asset register. Item 19, Neighbourhood Services Procurement Action Plan. On the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Andrews, it was agreed to note that services will continue out of contract until new contracts are awarded and also to approve the recommended Neighbourhood Services Directorate Procurement Action Plan. Item 20, Residual Waste Treatment Project. Briefing paper on R21 queries. On the proposal of Councillor McKee, seconded by Councillor Clark, it was agreed to note the briefing paper on Residual Waste Treatment Project, the project on no R21 queries. Item 21, R21 Joint Committee Schedule Briefing. On the proposal of Councillor Owen, seconded by Councillor McKee, it was agreed to note the R21 Joint Committee Schedule Briefing dated 25th of June 2020. And item 22, R21 JSC Virtual Meeting. On the proposal of Councillor Owen, seconded by Councillor McKee, it was agreed to note the R21 briefing papers of the virtual meeting held on Thursday, the 30th of July 2020. Sinead, I think that's everything. Rose, have you anything to add to? Or?
No, thank you, Chair. Thanks very much to everyone.
Okay, Sinead, that's for tonight.
Thanks, Chair.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.